I do love falafel.
Say falafel again.
Falafel. How do you say it?
Falafel.
What did I say?
Don't be a weirdo.
Falafel.
Falafel.
That's how I thought Israelis say it. No. They do a little bit. If you go falafel. To a thing, not falafel.
Falafel. Very dramatic. You're an actor.
Falafel. Yes. Falafel.
Oh.
I can say it normal.
Now you can.
But
say
you know, I got to give it a little spice.
Here we are on beautiful Jones Street.
You saw Ted Jones.
Sponsored by Stock L Dreamery, the most delicious vegan cheese on the market. We got original smoked paprika and chili, garlic and herbs. And I'll tell you what, guys, this is the best vegan cheese you'll have. Don't forget the cheddar melt. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, you look like New York trendy.
Ooh, I like it.
All right, well, here we go.
You and I first met like 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
At a comedy club, and we hit it off.
Yeah.
When was the first time you took the e-bike in New York City?
Last summer.
Yeah.
And it changed my life.
How did it change your life?
Everything was so much nicer. I got to places really fast and effortless, which is what I like.
Yes.
I don't like the effort of going.
Yeah, because we were talking about when you take the regular bike, it's just like almost a nightmare.
Yeah. I don't know why they exist.
Well, they started with... I mean, without the electric. And then I imagine they weren't getting that many customers. Because like, who wants to just ride around on the bike?
Apparently, a lot of... I have a friend that she only takes the regular bike.
Well, it's so much cheaper, too. It's $5 for the first 30 minutes that you're on the regular bike.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's like 25 cents a quarter mile. But on the e-bike, it's...
It's a lot.
Yeah. It's $5 base. And then like every minute, it's like...
But I heard you can do like a
maybe not dollar,
like a yearly.
Yeah,
you pay $200 and then it's like $1.
Yeah, yeah. But I can't justify myself taking it that much because I like to walk. You big walker?
I like to walk.
Yeah,
I love to walk.
And also in the neighborhood that you're in, you find yourself probably like you walk all the way to the subway
all the time,
and then you go uptown or you go downtown.
We were in Buenos Aires now, and we didn't walk for 2 weeks. And it was very hard for me.
You were just taking what, the cars?
We took taxis and yeah.
Okay, so you grew up in Israel, correct?
Yes.
And did you walk a lot in Israel? Israel's a kind of walking type of place, right?
Yeah, you walk. Yeah. If you live in Tel Aviv, you walk because it's fun.
How long were you in Tel Aviv for? Like since birth?
I was born in a city like really close to Tel Aviv, like 10 minutes.
What's it called?
Ramat Gan.
Okay.
Ramat Gan.
How do you spell that? Or it's what? Like, say, like can you say it again?
Ramat Gan.
How do you say it? Like
Ramat.
Ramat Gan. Gan.
Yeah.
Gat.
Gan.
Ramat Gan.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So the last time I was in Israel, I think we briefly spoke about this. I was there on birthright, and I need to go back when it's not like a big trip where I'm seeing 20 different sites. It was just a lot. It was exhausting when I went there.
You should. Go.
I would love to.
You should go.
Thank you for the invite.
You're going to have a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm not there, but you should go. You should totally go.
But then you've done some comedy there when but you haven't been back in a moment.
What?
You haven't been back there in like a few years, right?
No, I was there last year.
Yeah.
My husband surprised me. He sent me by myself to a hotel for a week.
So he just gave you like he gave you the ticket, the Et Al ticket. Just,
yeah, you have a flight in 2 days.
You're going to get a break from your kids.
Yeah.
You have one kid or two kids?
Two
kids. Daughters. You're getting a break. And how long is that for? 10 days?
A week.
A week.
Amazing. In a hotel, like in a good and very good, very good hotel.
But you have family over there, right?
Yeah. They all came to the hotel.
I was going to ask.
No, I didn't move from
the hotel. They all came for room service. But you still have most of your family living there now, right?
All of them, yeah.
All of it?
Yeah. We just moved here 5 years ago.
Okay. Sorry, I'm getting text message. I'm very popular. Your husband's from Argentina.
Yes.
And where did you two meet again? I think you told me.
We met at a bar.
A bar?
We worked in 2009. We met at a bar. We were working together.
This was in Tel Aviv?
Yeah.
Is he Jewish?
He's Jewish.
Okay. Nice.
Of course.
How did he move from Argentina to Tel Aviv or near Tel Aviv?
He always wanted to come to Israel.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then he moved. He did like he went to the army, he lived in a kibbutz, and then he moved to Tel Aviv. it's like a few years, like 5 years, I think. And then he moved to another kibbutz, and then he moved to Tel Aviv. And 6 months later, we met.
So he was one of the volunteers in the Israeli army.
It's not like a volunteer. He did Aliyah. He did Aliyah.
What's that?
That, like, when you want to go to Israel, mm-hmm. and you want to live there,
yeah.
if you're Jewish, you can do Aliyah, and they give you, like, I don't know what they give you. Like an ID.
No, but what is, when you do Aliyah, what does that mean?
It's like, I think he came by, like he paid for a ticket and he came by himself and everything. But
right.
if you want to do Aliyah, I think as a Jewish person, you can, they pay for a ticket, I think, and they give you like money for starter.
And, but doing Aliyah means that you are in the army.
A citizen. I don't think you have to. No, I don't think he had to do it.
So if you want
he wanted to do it.
Like theoretically, if I want, went to Israel and I was like, I want to be a citizen here, they would pay for it?
It's a great question. I think that you get like a starter money or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they
like
still
that.
Do that?
I think.
Okay. Because what year did he, probably went there, like 2008 or 7?
2001.
Oh, 2001.
He's old.
Okay.
yeah. You can do it.
Interesting.
It's not a lot of money.
Yeah, well, you mean the amount that they give you, it's not a lot?
Yeah, but it's like they right. help you with like finding a place to live, probably, and like accommodating you for a while, I think.
Okay, and how long was he in the army for?
3 years.
Did you serve 2 years in the army? Because
yeah.
you have to as a citizen of Israel.
Yeah.
How was your experience like in the army?
I loved it. I wasn't like a combat or something. I came back home every, like we did, I did like a course for like 2.5 months.
Yeah.
And then it was like a job. I came back home every day.
And they pay you?
Nothing.
Not much, right?
No.
It's like comedy money, right?
It's less.
Maybe not. In order to leave Israel, do you have to be a part of the army for a certain amount of time? Or can you leave and then come back and do it when you're like 30 years old? Like if you wanted to come to the United States when you were 18 to pursue studies and college and then you go back, like defer it,
no,
they'd say.
I don't think you can do it. Or you need to like ask for special permission.
If you're like an athlete, something
that. Athlete or like an artist.
Yeah.
But a lot of them still do it, but they get like a lot, like really, like they get to do their thing more than to be really in the army. Right.
So they would have maybe a more loose type of job in the IDF.
It's like, it's not like combat. If you go to college and you sport like like an athlete, I'm sure, or you get like special
privileges. I would think. So what percentage of citizens serve in the army? Is it 100% or very close to 100%? Are there people that are like maybe weaker physically that won't have to be in the army?
There's
things
a lot
like
of people
that.
That can't, or they're sick.
They get exempt.
They're very religious.
Yeah,
and
Oh,
do
very
the,
religious.
Like they don't do the army. It's a whole different subject.
Yeah. That sounds like I don't want to say it sounds like a cop out, but sounds like a cop out a little bit. No, we're too religious. Hashem.
There's a percentage of them that are doing it.
Right.
But there's a lot that don't. That's part of the conflict inside Israel.
Between
people who serve the army and people who don't. Like, why you don't do that?
I remember when I was in Israel, went for Birthright, and going to the Western Wall. That was some of what the most religious people or most religious Jews I've ever seen in my life, you know, because I grew up in New York City, and obviously there are a lot of Jews here.
You can go to Brooklyn and see them, no?
Yeah. I guess you're right. I haven't spent much time there.
Yeah.
But they have the, on the terrace. Is it a kibbutz that they have?
What's
on
that?
The terrace? Like an outdoor thing that they pray in. Like an outdoor shed. An outdoor roof. Like on their terrace, they walk out.
In their house?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But on their terrace, like on their balcony.
They have a balcony?
Yeah. And they have a roof over it.
A roof.
What's that called?
I don't know.
Is it not kibbutz?
Kibbutz is a it's like a city.
Yeah.
But smaller.
Yeah.
And it's like a whole different ideology. But it's kibbutz is not, no.
Do you know, when's the last time you went to that part of Brooklyn? Have you been at all?
I don't think so.
Never.
I've been to Williamsburg. Where is it? Where is the religious
stuff? It's right off of the bridge in Williamsburg.
After the army, they go to the big trip. So I went with my best friend. We went to New Zealand, Australia, and Thailand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like 4 months.
4 months?
Super fun. And in Australia, my best friend, she wanted to hike on a glacier, and I don't like to move.
There are glaciers in Australia?
In New Zealand.
Ah. But still, I didn't know that.
There's glaciers.
Yeah.
There's everything there. So she wanted to go hiking. I don't like to move. So I was like, oh, I'm going to skydive above it. Okay, cool. And I did. And I thought I'm going to get like a really hot guy. And I was 22, you know.
Yeah,
everybody,
okay.
I came to the place. Everybody was so good looking. Yeah. And then this guy overall came. Yeah. He was like 70.
Was he good looking at least?
For a 70-year-old, he was fine. He was shorter than I hoped.
Uh-huh.
But then he came and he was like, sorry, you got the old guy. And I'm like.
At least he knew.
It's fun. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would be such a fun place, I feel like, to skydive. Like, they have a lot of places in Long Island and such. I don't really want
to. It was the most amazing.
You see all these small houses down below. Like,
it's called Franz Josef, I think, the area. And it was, that's. I can't even know when we jumped.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of noise and a lot of wind. But then he opened
Your
the parachute.
Like-
yeah, yeah, yeah. He opened the parachute and I had a camera because there wasn't phones because I'm fucking old. But yeah, I had a camera on me and he opened the parachute and then everything is quiet and the scenery is like amazing. Everything is green.
How long is the fall after he opened the...
It felt like forever, but it's probably like 2 minutes.
Were you talking to him?
So he was like, you want me to do an... You can take a picture. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. I told him, like, shut up. I need to enjoy this. And I was like, this is what heaven feels like. This is the...
Were you scared to jump out of the plane?
No.
Or do it before?
No. A day before, I did bungee jumping.
That's probably more scary.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Ever do it.
I don't think I'm going to.
Don't.
But I ziplined in Costa Rica. Did like a zipline course.
That's scary. Also.
Yeah. No, but that was I. You're going like a set speed. You're hopefully staying on the line.
Yeah.
It was I. Like, but I don't know if I would ever.
Everything is like what happens if the zipline cuts. Right.
Right. I don't really hopefully think about that at that point.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would ever skydive or bungee jump.
Bungee jump is horrible.
Yeah.
I don't recommend at all.
It's just a free fall until you get dung.
Your body. Boom. No, so I didn't do the one that you tie from the legs because I heard it's really not good for your back.
Uh-huh.
I did one that they tie you here and like when you fall, but then in the end you like slide. So it's like, so you fall and like continue your in like a big canyon.
And you did that in New Zealand also?
And I did it like a day before in New Zealand and and it took them 20 minutes to make me jump because your body is like, you don't feel you are tied to anything. So your body is like, you're going to die right now. You really want to do that? Are you really jumping?
Did somebody push you?
They came very close to me.
Nice little touch.
They came really like, okay. And I'm like, in the end, I jumped, but I hated it. I couldn't even scream. I tried to scream.
Yeah, I can imagine that would feel different. Because when you're skydiving out of a plane, you got a guy behind you. Like
you got a guy, and also
walking
the wind,
with you, right?
You don't feel like you're falling. The wind is very strong. So you're like, you're gliding, you're flying. You're not falling like a rock.
People who live in Tel Aviv, they travel a lot. I guess it's just after the army, they go on their trips, right?
Not only in Tel Aviv. People who live in Israel usually travel.
Why? Because it's such a small country?
No, because it's just a thing you do before you start the university. Usually.
So you went from...
You go to the army,
yes.
And then you go traveling.
And then you go to...
Then you go to the university.
What did you study in school?
I studied... it was...
Sociology?
No. It's like political science.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I only did it like my dad made me.
I only
did it because it was like a two-year instead of 3 years.
When did you move to the United States?
5 years ago.
Yeah, you said that.
Just before COVID.
How have you've liked it?
Love it.
And how old are your children?
10 and 3.5.
Do they speak Hebrew, both of them?
Yeah, but English is like more, English took over a little bit. But they understand, they know.
Yeah.
But like my older one, she came here when she was 5 and she didn't speak any word in English.
Oh, wow.
She didn't understand anything. And 3 days after, like 2 days after we came here, she was in the kindergarten already.
That's crazy.
She was like,
Are they, and they're going to be going to Hebrew school if they haven't started or no?
I don't think so. She learned how to write and read. She can speak it, but because she speaks English most of the time, so it's like more convenient for her. But I try to speak in Hebrew as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I think the little one, she doesn't know she speaks 2 languages.
That's so funny.
I think everything is like together. Uh-huh. She'll know at some point, I think. But they understand.
Did you go to Hebrew school? How did that work?
Everything is Hebrew school.
Right. I guess,
like,
well,
Chinese food.
Yeah. In China. Did you learn English when you were, like, when did you learn English?
Yeah, we learned English in school? Second grade, I think.
Yeah.
Or third grade.
Okay.
And the television is in English. It's not like dubbed. It's not like in
subtitles,
Argentina.
Subtitles, yeah.
Yeah, it's subtitles. You get subtitles. So I watched a lot of TV. And I learned my English from there.
Did you have a bat mitzvah?
I had a bat mitzvah, but it's not like here.
It's not like a big party. It's just kind of like a one day thing.
It's a big party, but I think here girls are doing it when they're 13.
Yeah. When do you do it there?
12.
How? Why is that? What's the difference?
I think that's how it's supposed to be.
Oh, are you supposed to do it at 12?
I think so. But also... Here they read like boys, right? They read they have drasha.
Vayisa Yaakov raglav vayelak atzav nekedem vayav hine ba'el. That's half Torah, right?
It's very, very impressive.
Nice, thank you. It's because I memorized it and they gave me transliterations. I didn't read it from the thing.
You know?
Just because I couldn't read, I couldn't read Hebrew. It was tough for me.
It's hard.
I got so much going on, you know. And also before Hebrew school, it was like right after school. The snacks that I was eating between school and Hebrew school, there was way I could pay attention. I was having a honey bun, an everything bagel, Cheetos, a Dr. Pepper or Mountain Dew.
Were you a heavy kid?
And yeah, I was pudgy. Excuse me.
Pudgy.
But my, it's just like, it was interesting how back then, I guess like almost like 20 years ago now, like parents didn't really pay attention to what their kids eat.
No, you know how much shit I ate when I was a kid?
I ate the most.
I ate the most.
Well, were you pudgy? Were you fat?
No.
Yeah, see?
I had baby fat.
Yeah, me too.
Until like...
But I also think like parents aren't really understanding that they have to watch what their kids eat until probably now, right?
They didn't know my... Sorry.
It's okay.
My mom didn't know anything. I don't know. My throat is like...
Well, I think my parents, they knew things, but like feeding me, you know, like a glass of milk, the cheese.
Milk, so much milk.
Milk is terrible
for you. So much milk.
Yeah.
I drink milk like I drink water now. Like I drink a lot of milk.
Yeah.
And I was also always congested, you know. Why is this happening? I don't know. Maybe it's the cow milk.
It's cold outside. Yeah. It's normal. It's flu season.
Of course.
Yeah.
It was... And the snacks I ate, and we always had snacks at home.
Always.
Like always, all the chocolates, Jesus, all the snacks.
Oreos, Chips Ahoy. I'm vegan now. I don't know if you knew that.
How is that going?
It's good.
You? Yeah?
You know, I think we briefly talked about it.
Are you a healthy vegan?
Yeah. I'll eat anything that's vegan, to be honest, but the foods that I find myself eating are more whole type of foods, like avocado, chickpeas, beans, rice type of pasta sometimes. No. I prepare. Like I can put pasta in a pot and boil it. Uh-huh. I can put a vegan pizza in an oven, turn it on.
That's
I can put chickpeas and beans in a can.
That's kind of cooking, I feel.
Yeah, but yeah. I'll be generous with my cooking term. I'm not really a cooker. Like I don't do the spices on the tofu and things like that. Oh. I'm just more of like a basic.
So you eat tofu?
Yeah. I'm not picky really with food.
Is tofu really healthy or?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not really, but it's healthy. People say it's not healthy, but I believe it's healthy.
It's soy? What tofu is it?
Yes.
Soy.
Soy.
So that's like a lot of estrogen, no?
Yeah, maybe.
You feel
but
like
I'll put it, sometimes. But I'll put it in, like I'll have the, I don't know. You go to Chipotle ever?
No, never.
Never? No. You've never been?
No.
It's good.
Yeah.
But I have like, instead of the meat in it, I'll have sofritas, which is like mashed up tofu. Okay. It's good. I can't believe you've never been to Chipotle. It's pretty American.
I don't like so much. I don't like chain food okay. so much. I feel like it's garbage. Yeah. I don't know if it's garbage or not, though.
Chipotle. Yeah, it's just, I mean, you can have the rice and beans and lettuce and salsa. It's very simple, very American, quick lunch. You could, but you can't prepare it at home. You'd have to cook it at home, you know?
It's cooking.
Yeah. what kind of, how's the food difference between Tel Aviv and America? Because there are a lot of ingredients in American foods that are banned in other countries, which is
that
crazy.
I read only when I moved here.
Even like the Twizzlers and chips here are different than in Europe.
You can see the ingredients in a chips here or Oreos here and Europe. And you can see Europe is like this big. And here it's like this. I don't.
Like the McDonald's for French fries, for example.
What is that? That's not potatoes. I saw a video of a guy that he put like his a burger and fries from McDonald's for a month on the counter. Nothing happened.
That's how you know it's good. No, I don't know. I used to eat that stuff all the time before I went vegan. I just ate crap.
I ate a lot of McDonald's. Like when we moved here, we ate a lot of McDonald's and then I got pregnant and then we ordered McDonald's. I couldn't smell it anymore. It made me want to throw up and then I never touched it again.
Why couldn't you smell it?
It made me sick. I don't know.
You could smell it, but it made you sick.
I could smell it.
Yeah.
Physically.
Right.
Made me nauseous.
Interesting.
Never ate it again.
Yeah. I would think that would probably happen to me if I walked into a McDonald's again. Just the smell would be too gnarly.
I hate it. I hate it so much. Also, like, when you know, like, you're eating the fries and you know it's not potatoes, it's like, what is this?
That doesn't stop a lot of people, though. It doesn't. A lot of people still do it.
My daughter just ate it today.
the McDonald's french fries?
Yeah.
They are pretty good.
And the chicken, probably. The chicken
McNuggets.
Yeah, McNuggets.
So you've never eaten at a chain in the 5 years you've been here?
No, I have eaten.
What chain?
We ordered from La Pain Quotidienne. I don't know if I...
That's fancy, though.
Is it?
Yeah. They have, like, pre-made sandwiches and croissants and stuff.
They have very nice soups.
You order from there? Okay.
what else? We ate, like, there's so many good restaurants and coffee places, you know, that are not chains.
That's true.
So I prefer eating there.
In Tel Aviv, are there a lot less obese people? Like extremely fat people.
I don't see a lot of extremely fat people in New York either.
But yeah, that's true.
Right? It's like, I feel like it's not maybe.
There are a lot of overweight people in New York.
In New York?
Yes.
Maybe it depends, I think, on the demographic, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a lot of fat people, but there are.
In Tel Aviv?
Yeah. Or.
You're eating a lot of shawarma.
Maybe it's the shawarma.
On Birthright, we were like going to the...
Did you see a lot of fat people?
I don't think so. Not from what I can remember. Right? But we went to the mall and they would just have enormous amounts of shawarma. And then we go back on the bus and the bus would just smell like lamb and shawarma.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. But Birthright, you know what? While I was on it, I was like, this is terrible. But I knew the whole time that I was on it, that once I was not on it, I'd be like, it was good.
Maybe it's too much. Maybe it's too much for a young boy.
It is.
To see.
For sure.
And like absorb.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to go there by yourself to like a nice hotel and get like.
Your husband should give me the ticket and a nice hotel. That's for you.
That's me.
But no, I would agree. If I were to go back, I definitely
now
need
you're
to.
An adult also.
Yeah. I need to spend time there and just like relax. Because there was we had in total probably 2 hours on the beach during the 10 days we were there. And then everything, it was in the middle of summer. So it was super hot. And they had just came out with a law that if somebody's on the street and they go into a restaurant and they need water, you have to serve them.
Really?
Because previously, I think it was like people were dying of dehydration.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, it was a law that any person that goes into a restaurant and they ask for water, you have to give it to them because it gets so freaking hot over there.
Sounds like a good law.
Definitely. I went in the Dead Sea, and for some reason, I don't know. I think I had like a rash. Like I had rashes under my knees.
After you went in?
No, before. I guess before, and I went in, and it was burning.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Oh. They should have told you that.
The Dead Sea?
No, the guys.
The birthright. I don't think they really cared. Yeah.
It was like, never go to the Dead Sea with like an open womb.
Yeah. Or, it's pretty cool though.
It's awesome.
You know?
I've been there like a few times.
Uh-huh. Because it's far away-ish.
Pretty far.
Yeah.
Like in America, length, it's not really far.
No.
But it's for me.
We were on the road for a long time.
But yeah. Yeah, you float. It's insane.
You can't do that anywhere else in the world?
I don't think so. I don't think anywhere else has this amount of salt in the water.
Yeah.
It's like one of the like great nature wonders of the world or whatever.
Is it one of the seven?
I feel like no.
Pop it up right here. We'll see if you're right. I don't know.
Yeah. So you should go. Also, it's like the Tel Aviv is like the vegan capital of...
I heard London was...
I don't think so. London?
They might have came out with the rankings.
Really?
Yeah. Tel Aviv is up there.
What?
But London? I do love falafel. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You've lived everywhere.
No, just in London.
Just in London.
Did you say falafel again?
Falafel. How do you say it?
Falafel.
What did I
don't
say?
Don't be a weirdo.
Falafel.
Falafel.
That's how I thought Israelis say it. No. They do, a little bit. If you go falafel. To a thing, falafel.
Falafel. Very dramatic. You're an actor.
Falafel. Yes, falafel.
Oh.
I can say it normal.
Now you can
But
say
you know, I got to get a little spice with that falafel. New York, sometimes it's difficult to find good falafel.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There's a lot of Israeli restaurants that are very good. And also like Middle Eastern restaurants that are really good, like Lebanese and stuff that are really good. There's some really nice ones. That's why I like it. It's very similar. You know what I liked about New York? Before we moved here, my husband told me, you know, we're moving to America. You need to be very politically correct. You can't say anything you want. Like censor yourself a little bit. Because he noticed that the office working is different than Israel and here. So the office life is different. Like the office addicts are different.
How?
Like one example is like when you write a mail to someone.
Email?
So, like an email, yeah. So in Israel, you're like, I need this and this and this done. Thanks. And here you need to
Would
like,
you mind, please?
No, it's like, hey, so-and-so, I hope
this email finds you well.
Oh, whatever. How was the weather? It's like a long...
Crazy
a long,
weather we've gotten. Yeah. Anyway.
A long, like, very polite whatever before you actually ask for something. Oh. And also, when you ask for something, it needs to be very, like, it's more passive-aggressive, I feel like. Yeah.
Comforting. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's different. So he was like, and then I moved here, and I was very afraid, like, not afraid, but I was, like, held back for, like, a few days. And then my kids started school, and I met, like, other parents, and I saw that, oh, New York. I can curse. I can say fuck. Like, I can say whatever I want. Like, this is fucking awesome. And the people who like me, and the people who don't. So it's like Israeli mentality, but more polite. Like, you guys can really stand in lines. That's amazing for me.
How do you mean stand in lines? Like waiting for something?
Waiting in line. Very patiently. Never see that in Israel.
What does it look like? And
like
I also,
a group of people.
I also though, like if I have to wait for more than
I never,
like 10 minutes for coffee, no, neither do I.
Never wait in line.
And I was born here.
You know what else I noticed? Like if I stand outside of a restaurant, people will start lining up behind me. Like if I stand with someone else and it's like close to the entrance, people will start lining up after me.
Instead of trying to cut you?
Until I say like, I'm not, there's no line. You can... It happened a lot of times. And like, I like it that people are very like, are more polite. It's like,
yeah,
they're rude, but in a polite way, and they're nice.
Well said.
Yeah.
I think that people in New York get a bad rap for that. People will say like, New York, everyone's so rude. They say, fuck you.
No, they're fucking more honest. Like, that's how people are supposed to behave. You need to be more honest.
And
you can't go like.
You take the subway a lot or the bus more?
No,
the subway, I find that unless there's somebody being rowdy on the subway by themselves, everybody waits until the people get off the train and then you go on the train. There's like an opening for you to get off the train. People know that they stand like this, on, you know, outside the door.
Yeah, Yeah, yeah.
It's great. Really well behaved. I love this. Yeah, I love the subway.
And they're well behaved and they're nice. And I like to curse. So I like that people are not shocked when I say fuck or when I say it's fucking nice.
And in Israel, they would be more shocked or they would just be like,
no, I don't think. No, no. No, it's like that. It's like more in your face than like going around, you know. Let's just say what I mean. Say, I want to say what I say. Want to say what I want to say. So I say it. It's not in a mean way. It's like, but
direct.
It's more direct. Yeah.
What did your parents do growing up? Quickly change subjects.
My mom was a teacher and my dad was all kinds of stuff.
What did your mom teach?
Everything, like elementary school.
At the school you were at?
No. No, never. And that's all I have to say about that.
But your dad was. Have people been serving in the army since Israel was founded?
Yeah, my parents, when they were supposed to get married, it was 1973, and my dad had to go for Yom Kippur War. They drafted him.
And that's when it started, or that's when people could be drafted?
No, it started. He went. And then I think he came back and got married. And he dislocated his shoulder.
Why? What did he do?
I don't remember.
The training that I saw for the IDF, they were up at like 4 a.m. hiking Masada when we were there.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you did?
No. But I've been to Masada, but with my school.
It was cool.
How hard is that?
Hiking up there?
There's a lot of stairs.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because there's a... like a lift.
Yeah, we weren't allowed
to
take that.
Why are we not taking that?
Well, we were birthright. They had to make it difficult.
No, we're in school also. We didn't take the lift.
Who was taking the lift then? Or actually, you know what? Now that I remember, we were with my grandparents when I went there when I was 14. We took the lift for sure.
Like a normal person.
Yeah, like an American.
It's like 2,000 stairs. No, maybe more.
I don't know. It took a while. I remember it was probably an hour maybe.
I've been there when I was a kid. I've been there after.
How can you describe Masada to the person that doesn't know what it is?
Wow, what do you mean describe? It's like a mountain.
Yeah, but why is it, what's scarce. The significance of it?
Oh shit, you're really tackling
it. Yeah, that's
now.
Deep.
There was like there was a thing there and people died.
Was there war on the mountain? I mean, they definitely told us during.
Yeah, they told us. I'm supposed to know all of that.
Yeah, you are.
I told you, I'm a bad Jew.
No, you're a good Jew.
I just don't remember the story, like, to specific details, so I don't want to say
Should
something.
I just pop up the Wikipedia thing right here? Yeah, we'll do that. That's easier.
Because I don't want to...
Instead of the long story say, like, that we don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, invent a new history that didn't happen. Yeah.
Let's finish this off talking a little bit about your comedy career.
Ooh.
Did you know that you were going to... get right into comedy when you moved to New York 5 years ago?
Yeah, because I started it in Israel. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it in New York. It was hard because...
the language changed.
I had to start writing in English. The first mic I did was horrible. I did a mic at... now it's Cellar 77.
It's been like 10 different things since 5 years ago. Yeah.
So 7th Street. I did my first mic there and I didn't really have anything that I prepared like crazy, like that I remembered. And I got so confused with the language. I thought in Hebrew and I had to let it out in English and everything got confused. But it was shit. I was very ashamed, but I just kept going. And I just got used to it. And then writing in English is much better. I love it. It's funnier for me.
And do you ever see yourself going back to Tel Aviv and doing something in Hebrew? Maybe
on
like a world tour or what?
I don't know. I can go and like ask, like I know some people there that has stages and stuff, but I don't have any material in Hebrew. So I'm going to have to write it or like maybe try to translate.
Do they have English comedy shows
they
over there?
Have.
And they're popular or not
they're
really?
They're very popular.
Really?
Yeah. They have, Shachar Hasson and Yochai Sponder. They're two very good comedians. Search them up. And they have a very, like, they started a stage in English and it's going really well. and they're very funny in English too. So that's great.
And then there are also a number of Jewish comedians that work in New York, but I don't know if they also go over there and do it in Hebrew. The guys like Modi.
I don't think he does it in Hebrew. I heard Jessica Kirsten was in Tel Aviv.
Yeah, and she was doing English. Oh yeah.
Yeah, but it's all in English.
She's great. Yeah.
She's so funny. But no one is doing it in Hebrew. I feel like I don't think Modi is even doing it in Hebrew.
That's where you come in. That's your lane.
I feel like it's funnier in English, but I should have stuff in Hebrew.
Yes, you should.
I'm not supposed to be scared of it, right?
No. You do 30 minutes in Hebrew and then 30 minutes in English.
That's weird.
Back to back.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I
need
to change my clothes.
You can wear the same thing. You can wear this trendy New York outfit.
That's my PJs.
Well, it looks trendy. Ronnie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and being an open book. Before we get out of here, we're going to pop up your Instagram. If you have anything.
It's here?
Yes, it's right there. If you have anything coming up this weekend, let us know. Today is Thursday as we're dropping this. So like 4 days from now. Okay. If you have anything to let us know, please go ahead.
I don't.
Well, you have shows all the time in New York City. So we should follow your Instagram.
I always put it on my story.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Thank you so much.
So follow Ronnie.
It's my first podcast.
You did a great job. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Bye.